All right, how are you this evening?
大家晚上好。
Good, good, I'm glad. I am a little warm, I'm a little under the weather, and so this morning I was just soaked, and tonight I am as well.
我感到好像很热，好像感觉也不太舒服的感觉。
But I trust you'll bear with me here tonight as we break open God's Word here this evening.
我很高兴我们可以一起来打开神的话语。
Well, we are in a series, we've been in a series when I've been sharing with you on Sunday nights, where I've been addressing some of the controversial statements that Jesus made during his ministry.
我们在过去的一段时间，我们开始了一系列的主日的正道，我们一起来探讨了主耶稣在他的事工当中所说的一些有争议、有挑战性的话。
And tonight what I want to do, I want to really kind of wrap up this series and talk about the idea of what it means to really fully follow Christ.
好了，我们今天晚上可能是我们这个系列正道的最后的一次。那我们要讨论的就是如何能够完完全全的来跟随我们的主。
And so each of the messages that I've shared have been focused on, being a follower of Christ. And we're gonna see some scripture tonight where Jesus really ramps up the discussion and the test, if you would, on what it means to follow Him.
那我们在过去的一些正道当中，我们所讲的都是我们如何能够很好的来跟随我们的主，成为主的门徒。那么今天晚上，我们通过主耶稣他说的话语，我们来再次来看看我们如何能够完完全全来跟随他。
And interestingly enough, Jesus has this conversation with his disciples, through a conversation, about sin.
很有意思的是，其实主耶稣和他的门徒有过这样一段对话。那在对话当中，其实是关于罪的一个讨论来开始的。
And so turn in your Bibles, if you would, or the backside of your worship folder to Mark chapter 9. Here in just a few moments, we're going to read verses 43 through 48.
好，那我们大家一起来看一看马可福音的第九章的43到48节，也印在周报的背后。
And I think it's important for us, before we read this passage, I want to give us a little context before we get into this story where Jesus is going to address sin.
好，那在我们开始探讨今天的这段经文之前，我们先来看一看当时的一些背景。
And so Jesus, just for context, Jesus, as we enter into Mark chapter 9, Jesus was in full swing and he was doing his earthly ministry.
我们看到在进入第九章的时候，我们看到主耶稣他在全力的进行他在世界上的事工。
He was performing miracles, he was healing people, and he was investing a great amount of time in teaching the crowds of people who were flocking to him.
他在那段时间当中，他有行各样的神迹，他有医治很多人的疾病，他也花了很多的时间去教导那些追随他的会众。
And within that 3 years of earthly ministry that Jesus had, we of course know that he invested a significant amount of time with his disciples as well.
当我们知道在过去在那段三年的时间当中，他花了更多的时间跟他的门徒在一起。
Now the people who were coming to him were listening to his words, and they were witnessing his miracles, and I'm sure many of them hoped that they would be a recipient of his miracles somewhere along in their journey.
那我们看到有很多的会众有跟随他，有听他的讲道，也有来见证他所行的一切的奇迹。我们也知道当时可能有很多人，他们内心当中都希望亲自的经历这样的奇迹，希望这样的神迹在他的身上，在他们自己的身上发生。
And it was during this time as well that many people referred to Jesus as Rabbi, and I want to spend just a couple of moments tonight to address why this issue of addressing Jesus as Rabbi is very important for us to get a better understanding of.
那在当时那段时间，很多的民众叫耶稣，称耶稣为拉比。在这个地方，我想给大家花一点时间来探讨一下，为什么能够很好的理解拉比的含义，对我们今天的正道有意义。
So throughout the Gospels, we find that Jesus was referred to as Rabbi or Master Teacher 61 times.
那在圣经当中，耶稣他被称为拉比有61次。
And a rabbi is someone who, teaches the law of God, and the decision to follow a rabbi and then become a disciple in Jesus' time was not a decision that, to be just part of some group.
那拉比他的这样的一个在当时的环境当中，他的职业好像就是教导神的一个律法。如果要追随一个拉比成为他的门徒的话， 不单好像只是参加一个小组的活动。
And it wasn't just some simple decision where people could, go to a religious service or listen to a speaker and consider that, to follow, a rabbi.
啊，那追随一个拉比成为他的门徒的话，也不仅仅只是意味着好像参加一些宗教的仪式或者听谁的一个讲座而已。
To follow a rabbi in biblical times meant that you were totally dedicating yourself to the life and the teaching of that rabbi.
啊，在当时，如果你要能够追随一个拉比的话，意味着要将自己的生命完全的献上，来实行拉比的所有的教导。
And it was a decision that people made to literally follow the rabbi in step behind that person.
啊，在那时候真的是意味着就是要完完全全的跟随拉比。
There's an old saying in the first century, that says this. It said the dust of my rabbi, and it meant to follow so closely to the rabbi that the dust of his feet would kick up on you.
好了，在第一世纪的时候有这样的一个俗语，就是好像说是拉比的这灰尘，也就是说如果你跟随拉比跟随的如此的紧密的话，拉比的脚后跟所踢出来的灰尘会沾到你的身上。
And what this meant for people was that you would give up your trade, you would give up your career, and you would spend every part of your day with the rabbi, and you did what the rabbi did, and the purpose was so that you would become like that rabbi.
那也就是意味着你要放弃你自己的一切的职业或者你的生意，整天都和拉比在一起，和他做一样的事情，只为了一个目的，就是要和拉比一样。
Now, in order to get to that place of being a rabbi or following the rabbi, the Jewish culture put their educational system, in place. And let me just share a little bit about that because it's important context as we lead up to what Jesus was talking about here.
啊，如果要想成为一个拉比或者成为一个拉比的门徒的话，在犹太人当中，他们把他们的教育的系统分成几个部分。
And so the Jewish education system was for children, and they would typically start around the age of 6. And so every synagogue would have a school that was attached to it, and at the age of 6, a Jewish boy or girl would start what is known as the Beth Sefer, the house of the book.
那犹太人，他们以色列人，他们的小孩子大概从六岁左右开始来接受教育。在犹太人，他们每一个会所都有一所附属的学校。那小孩子他们进入这个学校之后，就开始学习律法，学习经文。
And at Beth Sefer, a child would learn the book. They would learn the Torah, or what you and I know as the first five books of the Old Testament. And they would spend every day learning to read, learning to write, and learning to recite the Torah, and until they could do it in its entirety from memory.
啊，那所以在他们小孩子犹太人他们小孩子六岁开始在学校里面开始学习律法读经，他们所学的经文的话就是我们大家所熟悉的摩西五经，他们所要做的就是每天都要读要写要记忆，以至于他们最后都可以完全的背诵经文。
And so they would go through this process in the educational system, and then at an age around 10 to 12 years old, this is where most would stop their education.
啊，他们这样的学习大概从六岁左右开始，一直到十到十二岁，在那个时候，大部分的人就会停止这样的学习。
And so what would happen is after this Beth Sefer, again around this age 10 to 12 years old, the girls would be prepared for marriage.And the boys would do one of two things.
那当他们到了十到十二岁以后，那些女孩子的话就会为预备他们自己的成年以后的婚姻，而男孩子的话会做两件事情中的一件。
If the boys were the best of the best, coming through this Beth Sefer, if they were the best of the best, they would then proceed to the next stage of the Jewish education system.
如果男孩子他们是学习很优秀的话，他们那一部分学生，他们就有机会能够进入下一步的学习。
And if they, this is the second choice, but if they didn't proceed to the next stage, what they would do is they would just kind of go back home, they would learn the father's trade, and that's what they would do for the rest of their lives.
那其中很大的一部分人，他们没有能够进入下一步的学习的话，他们就只有回到家中，继承他们父亲的家庭家族的职业。
And so now if you were a boy who was part of that, the best of the best crowd, what you would do is you would go on to that next level of education, which is called the Beth Midrash, or it's the meaning there is the house of interpretation or the house of learning.
所以如果你是属于那种优秀的学生的一部分的话，你就会进入下一步的学习。你进入下一步的学习，他们进入的学校就好像叫做解经学校一样。
And so at Beth Midrash, until the age of 15 to 17 years old, the boys would learn the rest of what we would call the Old Testament. They would learn about the other writings, the prophets, and they would also learn about the oral laws and the traditions of their day.
那在解经学校的在解经学校的这一部分的男孩子，他们一直会学习，他们会学习旧约当中的其他的一些经文，会关于他们的一些写作会。包括一些先知的书信和一些口传的律法和传统。
And so here again, they would memorize all this stuff. They would learn it until they could recite it. And at this stage, this Beth Midrash, they would be taught by the rabbi himself, and he would be looking for the best of the best of the best kids.
那他们这些优秀的学生的话，他们在这个解经的学校里面，他们的老师就是拉比他们自己。他们在这个地方要学习的是要有很多传统的经文，拉比他们所看重的是这些学生当中是不是有优秀中的优秀的学生。
And what he was looking for, he would be looking for these 15 to 7 year old kids. He would be looking for this very deep level of commitment, a consuming passion, and a willingness to give everything up for God.
那拉比他们在这些学生当中，他所要看到的是看重的是。这些学生是不是有他们委身的程度如何？他们是不是有全然投入的热情？他们是不是愿意为了神的缘故而放弃自己的一切
？And so then at the end of this time here, this Beth Midrash, the best of the best of the best would become disciples, and they would start what's called the Talmid.
那当他们到了15到17岁的时候，他们中间的优秀中的优秀的优秀就会被。
Now those who didn't make it into this level, they would just simply go back, all their education would be done, and they would go back to the family as well, and they would learn the trades of their fathers.
那如果那些没有被选中的学生的话，他们就会回到自己家中，又开始他们父亲的继续他们父亲的职业。
But for the kids who made it through, what they would do is they would then go to see a rabbi. Go ahead.
这些被选中的学生的话，他们会选择去跟随一个拉比。
They would go to see a rabbi that they wanted to become a disciple of, and they would follow him from a distance.
他们会选择一个拉比，他们如果愿意成为他的门徒的话，他们从远处的来观察这个拉比。
And as was kind of a custom, what would happen is when they finally got the rabbi's attention, they would then be interviewed, and if the rabbi saw something in them,He would say to them, "Come and follow me."
如果他们真正的有办法能够引起拉比的注意的话，他们就会经过被拉比来面试。如果他们通过这样的面试，拉比在他们身上看到一些特别的特质的话，他们才会真正的成为拉比的门徒。
And so at this point, they would become the Talmid, and they would follow this rabbi that not only did they choose, but that the rabbi chose as well. They would follow the rabbi 24 hours a day.Learning from that rabbi, doing what the rabbi did, in order that they would be like that rabbi.
当拉比选中了他，他们也选中了拉比的时候，他们就必须24小时的跟随这个拉比，他们会成为像拉比的影子一样。
And they would do this until the rabbi felt that they were ready to go out and to make disciples.
他们会一直如此，直到有一天拉比认为他们已经
准
备好了。会派出去使他人成为他们自己的门徒。
And they would do this all day and every day. And then, so this group of Talmid was, again, the best of the best of the best. And only a few Jewish males would ever get to this stage.
他们每天所做的就是这样一天一天的重复。他们当中只有那些最优秀的才可能成为拉比。
Because you could only get to this stage...if you had that deep level of commitment, if you had that passion, and if you were willing to give everything up, and most young men would be sent away to follow their father's trade because they just didn't have it in them.
那些孩子当中只有那种愿意委身的，有热情，愿意为了神放下一切的，才能达到这一步。其他的所有的大部分的学生，他们最后都会回到自己家中，从事他们父亲的职业。
And the part of the reason why this process, this system was so rigid was because the rabbis knew that the excellence of the student reflected the excellence of the teacher themselves.
他们这一套的拉比的系统为什么如此的严格？因为这些拉比他们知道，他们选出来的这些门徒，他们的素质也反映了他们自己作为老师的素质。
So here's why I give you a little bit of that history here tonight.
好了，我现在我再给大家一些关于这个段的历史。
People all the time, wherever Jesus went, they were calling him Rabbi, but Jesus wasn't anything like the other rabbis.
在那段时间当中，我们看到很多的人跟随主耶稣，而且称他为拉比。但是主耶稣和一般我们所说的拉比完全不同。
He was completely different. And in fact, 23 times in scripture, it tells us that he was teaching to large crowds. Well, the description that I just gave to you, the rabbis did not teach to large crowds of kids.
我们看到在圣经当中有23次的在经文当中记载到主耶稣他跟很多的众人来讲话。我们刚才跟大家介绍的我们可以知道一般的拉比他们不会跟众人说话。
But this teaching to large crowds was a significant part of Jesus' teaching, and his call for people to be a Talmid or a follower, a student or a disciple, and then a disciple maker was a different call that every other rabbi had given to their students.
我们看到主耶稣他招呼众人成为他的门徒的这样一个过程，和一般的拉比招呼他自己的门徒的过程是不一样的。
And so what would happen here is if you, again, just remember some of the history here of their system, the rabbis would select just a few. But Jesus, being who he was, he opened it up to everybody to come follow him.
我们看到这个一个最大的差别就是一般的拉比他们只是招一两个几个的这样的门徒。但是我们看到主耶稣他把自己完全的打开愿意十万人都成为他的门徒。
Jesus just wasn't asking the best of the best of the best to come. Jesus opened this thing wide open, which was completely opposite of the entire Jewish educational system.
和犹太人他们的教育的传统完全不一样的。主耶稣他所招呼召的不单只是那种好中的最好，他把他自己完全的打开，招万民都成为他的门徒。
And the same possibility that Jesus opened up for anybody within hearing distance of his voice, the same opportunity that he opened up then, he opens up for you and I to be a follower and a disciple of his.
我们知道在当时所有的能够听到主耶稣他说话的主耶稣都打开自己愿意让万人成为他的门徒。今天主耶稣也把这样的门打开愿你我都成为他的门徒。
So in Mark chapter 8, Jesus has this defining moment, this defining conversation with his disciples and specifically with Peter.
那在马可福音的第八章主耶稣特别是对他的门徒特别是对彼得说了一段很重要的话。
Here's the conversation again. I know this is a lot of context, but it helps us to better understand what's coming here in Mark chapter 9. So in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 35, this is what it says.
好，我们要理解第九章的话，我们先来读一读第八章的第27节到35节。
It says, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi.
耶稣和门徒出去，往凯撒利亚腓立比的村庄去。
And on the way, he asked them, Who do people say I am? And they replied, Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets.
在路上问门徒说，人说我是谁？他们说，有人说是施洗的约翰，有人说是以利亚，又有人说是先知里的一位。
But what about you? What about you, he asked. I mean, we have to remember that the disciples were Jesus' closest friends.
接着他就说又问他们说你们认为我是谁呢我们大家记住主耶稣他的门徒是跟他最亲密的人。
And here in this defining conversation, Jesus asked them, Well, who do you say that I am?
他就问到这样的他说你们说我是谁呢
And Peter spoke up first and he says, Well, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ.
彼得回答说你是基督。
And it says that Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. I've always been a little bit confused as to why Jesus did that, but he did that in a number of places throughout his 3 years of ministry.
耶稣就禁戒他们不要告诉人。 我其实很多时候不是很理解为什么主耶稣要禁戒他们, 但是我们知道在经文当中这样事情发生了好几次。
And then in verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again.
第31节, 从此他教训他们说, 人子必须受许多的苦,被长老、祭司长和文士弃绝,并且被杀,过三天复活。
And so Jesus, talking to his disciples, he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke, to reprimand, to scold Jesus in this moment.
耶稣明明地说这话, 彼得就拉着他去劝说, 我们看到这里彼得要劝说主耶稣。
But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
耶稣转过身来, 看着门徒, 就责备彼得说, 撒旦, 退到我后面去吧。 因为你不体贴神的意思,
and then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said this, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me."
于是叫众人和门徒来, 对他们说, 若有人要跟从我, 就当舍己, 背起他的十字架来跟从我。
For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.
因为凡要救自己生命的必善了生命, 凡为我和福音善了生命的必救了生命。
And in this conversation here, Jesus does three things for us.
在这段对话当中, 主耶稣他为我们做了三件事。
Number one, Jesus defined his identity.
那第一件事就是在这段对话当中, 主耶稣他定义了他自己的身份。
And he asked the simple question, "Who do you think I am?"
他问了一个很简单的问题, 就是说, 你们认为我是谁?
Number two, he defined his mission.
第二, 主耶稣他定义了这段话中他定义了他自己在世上的使命。
He says the Son of Man is going to have to suffer and to be killed and to rise again after 3 days.
他这里说到人子要受许多的苦,要被杀。 而且过三天后要复活。
And then he defined his relationship with anyone who might choose to follow after him.
那最后他定义了他和那些追随者选择追随他的人的关系。
And Jesus, even though he had crowds of people that were coming to listen to him, Jesus wasn't looking for fans. He wasn't looking for these crowds of people to come.
尽管我们知道有很多的民众来追随主耶稣, 但是主耶稣他所看重的并不是好像招聚很多的粉丝。
Jesus was looking for true disciples.
主耶稣他所寻找的是真正的跟随者。
And in this context that we're about ready to read here, there are some extreme demands of discipleship. There are some extreme demands of what it means for you and I to follow after him.
在我们要读的这段经文当中, 我们也看到, 要跟随主耶稣成为他的门徒，要付上很大的代价。
He was looking for people that would say, "Yes, I'll deny myself. Yes, I'll pick up my cross. Yes, I'll be willing to even lose my life for following you."
他要寻找的是那些愿意舍己的，是那些愿意背起十字架来跟随他的，愿意丧失自己生命的人。
And Jesus is absolutely all inclusive when he says, "If anyone would come after me."
主耶稣他这里所说的是, 任何人如果愿意来追随我。
And he's telling the people then, he's telling you and I today, that anybody can follow him, but we need to remember that there's going to be a high cost for us.
他告诉他的追随他的人也告诉我们, 所有的人, 任何人都可以来追随他, 但是却要付上其他的代价。
Only 5 times in scripture did Jesus call people to believe.
只有在圣经当中只有五次的时间，主耶稣用了"相信"这个词，"相信我"这个词。
But 17 times in Scripture, he calls us to follow him.
但是有17次的，他用了说要来跟随我这样的词。
You know, it might be interesting to note here, just before we read Mark chapter 9, that throughout the Gospels, we see all these large crowds of people coming after Jesus, right?
在我们在要进读第九章之前，我们呢其实很有意思，我们来看看，在圣经当中记得很多次，有很多的民众来跟随主耶稣，对不对？
Thousands of people had met Jesus, and he had healed, and many had been healed by him.
有成千上万的人来跟随他，他也医治了其中很多的人。
And they had watched Jesus and the disciples perform miracles that was beyond their comprehension.
有很多的人，他们也看到了主耶稣和他的门徒来行奇迹，完全的超出了他们能够理解想象。
So all of these large crowds of people, all of these people were met Jesus and they were healed or touched or saw miracles. And then when we move into Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, there were only 120 disciples is what the passage tells us.
然后我们看到，尽管在前面有那么多的会众来跟随主耶稣，但是到了使徒行传的第一章、第二章，我们看到当时的门徒或者使徒，他们在一起大概只有120人。
And we have to ask the question, right? Well, where did everybody go?
我们可能会很好奇地问这个问题，那其他那些人都到什么地方去了？
I mean, what happened here was Jesus said, hey, listen, all I'm asking you to do is come follow me. And then when we get to Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, there's only 120 out of thousands of people that said, yeah, sign me up.
我们看到主耶稣对他的会众说，你们来跟随我，对成千上万人说来跟随我。但是我们看到，到了《使徒行传》的第一章、第二章的时候，真正跟随他的只有120人。
They bailed on him. They couldn't deal with the cost of what it meant to truly follow Christ and to be one of his disciples.
那么他们中的大部分人都离弃了主耶稣，因为他没有办法，也不愿意为了跟随主耶稣而付上沉重的代价。
And so we pick up finally, right? Our passage today. And let me read to you Mark chapter 9, verses 43-48.
好，现在我们终于来到了我们今天晚上我们要查考的经文，在马可福音的第九章43-48节。
All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out.
倘若你一只手叫你跌倒，就把它砍下来，你缺了肢体进入永生，强如有两只手落到地狱。
And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell.
人，入那不灭的火里去。倘若你一只脚叫你跌倒，就把它砍下来。
And if your eye causes you to stumble,pluck it out, because it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell.
你缺腿进入永生，强如有两只脚被丢在地狱里。倘若有你一只眼睛叫你跌倒，就去掉它。你只有一只眼进入神的国，强如有两只眼被丢在地狱里。
And he reminds the disciples here, and he reminds you and I tonight, that hell is that place where he finishes up verse 48, where the wormsthat eat them do not die, and the fire is never quenched.
他也提醒他的门徒，也提醒我们在第48节中这样说道，在那里虫是不死的，火是不灭的。
And so Jesus is setting up this extreme demand of what it means to follow after him.
在这个地方我们看到主耶稣他告诉了我们，如果要跟随他所付上的这个极大的沉重代价是什么。
And he's really speaking in exaggeration here, and he's doing that so that you and I will come to a place of understanding the severity of sin and what it means to truly follow after him.
好，那在这个地方我们看到主耶稣他是用一种夸张比喻的说法来表达他对罪的这个严重性。
I really doubt that Jesus really meant that we should start cutting things off or out of our bodies. I mean, we kind of know this to be true because he tells us in Mark chapter 7 verses 21-23 that sin is ultimately always an issue of the heart. And he didn't use that example here that if sin is part of us that we should cut out our heart. He didn't say that. So he's using exaggeration here.
那我并不真正的认为主耶稣要我们所做的是真的是把我们身体中的一部分能够砍掉。我们知道其实在马可福音的第七章的时候主耶稣说我们的罪其实是我们心的问题。
In the book of Matthew, it has Jesus talking about the right hand or the right foot. And the reason for that is because in the Jewish culture, when you spoke about the right, you were speaking about the best.
那在马太福音当中提到类似的事情的时候，他用的是右手和右脚。那因为在犹太人的文化当中，右边的这个词的话是代表的是好的、高贵的。
And so in this conversation that Jesus is ramping up the level of commitment to him, basically what he was saying through this exaggeration was he was saying, hey, listen, give it your best. Come and follow me. If you're going to do it though, you've got to give me everything you've got.
好，那在这个地方我们看到主耶稣他用这样的一个夸张比喻的说法，只想让我们能够尽我们最大的努力，能够把我们最好的献上，能够来真正的来跟随他。
And he was using this extreme situation to help them to grow into deeper spiritual maturity. And he did this by talking to them about sin.
通过在对罪的这个讨论，他要让他们能够认识到他们只有完完全全的能够跟随主耶稣，他们才能够在属灵上能够成长，才能有成熟的属灵状况。
And so Christ's words here in this passage speak to us about the severity of sin. And I think there are some truths, three truths really, that we can pull out for tonight's message.
那在这个地方主耶稣他的话语他讲到了罪的严重性，有三个方面的真理，我们今天晚上我们一起来看看。
The first truth that I think we can pull out, and if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to do that so that you can look back on them and study them in your own devotional time.
好，那我们先来看看，我们欢迎大家能够来记笔记。
The first truth is this, friends. Christ does not take sin lightly, nor should we.
第一，就是主耶稣基督，他并不轻看罪，那我们也不能干。
If we are really going to follow after Jesus,Jesus didn't take sin lightly, and you and I can't do that as well.
那我想我们想第一点就是主耶稣他并不忽视我们的罪，那我们自己也不应该忽视罪。
God is not at all tolerant of sin. In fact, he hates sin.
我们知道主神他是不能容忍罪的，我们也不应该容忍罪。
And for us,We live in a society where we tend to tolerate sin because we're afraid that if we mention sin or if we speak against sin, then we'll be viewed as judgmental people, or worse yet, in some of the news media outlets or in conversations around the college tables especially, we'll be considered haters.
那我们知道主或者神他是恨恶罪的，但是我们生活的一个环境中却是一个对罪充满了容忍的环境当中，因为我们知道如果我们不容忍罪的话，我们很可能就被人家标上是论断人的标签，或者是被一些各样的一些媒体标上是一个仇恨者的标签。
And so we know tonight that we really don't have the time to talk about this issue in regards to the political platforms that debate around the sin issues, nor do we have the time to address issues that rise up in debate sometimes even in the life of churches.
好，那今天晚上我们有时间，我们有更多的时间来从一些政治的层面来讨论罪的问题，我们也没有办法能够完全来探讨一下在教会生活当中我们可能会遇到一些跟罪有关的问题。
But if we want a perfect example of how God deals with both sin and the sinner, we can find it in John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11.
如果我们想要在经文当中找到一个很好的一个例子，关于罪，或者是主耶稣怎么样来对付罪的这样的一个问题，这样的一个例子的话，我们可以在约翰福音的第八章找到。
And it's the story of the woman who was caught in adultery, and I've done a message on that. And basically here the religious leaders brought her to Jesus, and this is what he said to her at the end of the story in verse 11.
那这个故事呢是关于一个行淫的妇人的故事，有人把她给抓住带到了主耶稣的面前，最后主耶稣有这样对她说，在第十一节。
This again is the perfect example about how God deals with sin and how God deals with a sinner, and he said to this lady, I do not condemn you, but now go and leave your life of sin.
这是一个很好的例子，我们可以看看主耶稣是怎么样对付罪，也在对付罪人罪人的，对待罪人的。他在第十一节这样说，我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
And as Christians, when we come to this place where we're dealing with our own sin, when we're dealing with in conversations with people about their sin, this should be our exact response when we deal with sin. Jesus did not come to condemn us, but we are to leave our life of sin.
啊，那我们在我们的教会生活当中，我们要对付我们自己的罪，我们跟人家交谈当中也要来对待别人的罪。我想这个例子给我们一个很好的榜样，主耶稣他没有定这个行淫的妇人的罪。
So sin is why God sent His one and only Son to us, and He doesn't tolerate sin.
啊，我们看到神差派他的独生爱子，就是因为为了我们来到世上，就是因为为了我们的罪的缘故，他是不能容忍罪的。
And God knew the damage that sin could do to man, and He also knew of the breakdown that would take place in the relationship between us and Himself when there was sin as a part of our life.
啊，因为神他知道罪可以对我们所做的危害会有多么的大，他也知道因为罪的缘故可以阻断神和我们人之间的关系。
Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, these words.
保罗在罗马书的第三章也这样说。
For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God.
他说因为世人都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。第二十三节。
And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ.
如今却蒙神的恩典，因基督耶稣的救赎就白白的称义。
God presented Christ as a sacrifice for atonement through the shedding of His blood.
神设立耶稣做挽回祭，挽回祭是凭着耶稣的血。
And that we are to receive that, by faith.
借着人的信，要显明神的义。
And He did this to demonstrate His righteousness so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
因为要用忍耐的心宽容人先是所犯的罪。好在今时显明他的义，使人知道他自己的义，也称信耶稣的人为义。
And so God sent His Son to be our Redeemer and to be the payment for all of our sin.
所以我们看到神差派他的独生爱子成为我们个人的救赎者，也为我们的罪付上了代价。
And every time, think about this though, in the culture that we live in, every timeWe take sin lightly, that means that we are taking the gospel lightly.
啊，所以我们每一次当我们轻视罪的时候，轻忽罪的时候，也是轻视了我们的救恩。
And Jesus here in this moment, He was calling His disciples, He was calling those who said, yes, sign me up, I really want to follow you. Not the fans, not the crowds, but He was calling the people that really wanted to follow Him to a life of purity and holiness.
啊，我们看到主耶稣，他对那些要真正要跟随他的人，要全心跟随他的人，要他们过一个圣洁、纯净的生活。
And He's calling you and I to the same lifestyle of purity and holiness.
他也要我们如此行，过一个圣洁的生活。
And we will only experience renewal and revival in our souls, in our churches, and in our communities when we address this sin issue.
只有当我们能够对付罪的问题以后，我们才能在我们的自己生命当中，在我们的教会，在我们的社区当中，能够经历到属灵的复兴。
2 Chronicles 7:14 says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive them of their sin, and then I will heal their land.
在历代之下的7章14节这样说到，这称为我名下的子民，若是自卑祷告寻求我的面，转离他们的恶行，我必从天上垂听，赦免他们的罪，医治他们的地。
Now the second truth for us tonight is this.
我们今天晚上探讨的关于罪的第二个真理是，
Christ did not call us to moderate our sin but to mortify our sin.
主耶稣基督他没有要我们去，好像只是为了减缓，不是只要我们减缓我们的罪，他要我们的是完全的清除，除去我们的罪。
To moderate our sin means to compare ourselves with others.
好像是减缓我们罪，好像只是说我们跟我们周围的人去对比，去比较，看我们是不是罪更多还是更少。
An example of that would be when you might hear someone, or perhaps you've said it,Well, I might not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as some people I know.
那一个很好的例子就是，也许你听人家说过，也许你自己说过，啊，好像我并不是很完美的，但是我却比其他的人还是多少好一些。
And it means that in some way, We just try to justify our sin or to excuse it away, and just, it might come out like this. Well, you know, that's just the way I'm made, or I just can't control myself.
啊，这表达我们好像就是要为我们的罪来找出一个合理的解释。有时候我们可能会说，啊，我就是这个样子的，我就这么被造的，我没有办法能够控制我自己而已。
And Christ did not call us to do that.
我们知道基督他没有叫我们去这样做。
And every time we try to compare ourselves or excuse it away, we deceive ourselves.
啊，每一次我们要把我们自己去和别人去比较的时候，或者是每一次我们为我们自己的罪来找各样的原因的时候，我们其实是在自欺欺人。
Now, to mortify our sin means to kill or to extinguish or to get rid of that sin.
啊，除去罪的话，就是要表示我们要完全的把我们的罪从我们身上给清除出去。
And so here in this passage in Mark chapter 9, even though we look at it as kind of this extreme, exaggerated situation, what Jesus is saying here is cut it off. Like get rid of that which causes you to sin.
啊，那尽管我们在第九节当中我们读到的好像是主耶稣用一个很夸张的一个比喻的方式来表达这样的一个观念。但是其实我们看到他要我们所做的就是把我们所有的可以引起我们罪的东西能够通通的除去。
Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 that we are to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature.
好，那在格罗西书的第三章第五节保罗要这样说到，我们要致死你们在地上的肢体。
And we struggle with this, don't we?
我们是不是有很多的这样的一些挣扎在这件事情上？
Paul himself even struggled with this, and we don't have time to read it today, but read through Romans chapter 7, sometime, and I guarantee that you'll see for yourself in his words, his struggle with sin.
啊，即使是不但我们，即使是保罗在这样的事情上也有很多的挣扎。我们没有时间来读所有的经文，但如果有时间的话，你们去看看罗马书的第七章15-25节，在那个保罗的话语当中，你可能看到很多自己的影子。
He actually says in verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do it.
在十五节他有这样说到，我所愿意的善我反不做，我所不愿意的恶我倒去做。
And so he had this struggle as well, and God knows that we're going to have that struggle.
我们看到即使是保罗他也有这样的一些挣扎。
Now, John Owen was a Puritan, and he wrote in his book titled Mortification of Sin these words. The choicest believers who are assuredly freed from the condemning power of sin ought yet to make it their business all their days to mortify the indwelling power of sin.Of sin.
他说到那些好的基督好的信徒他们已经脱离了罪的权势的捆绑，但是他们应该在每一天当中都还要对付他们存留的罪的权势，成为他们每一天当中最重要的一个功课。
Do you mortify, he asks, do you make it your daily work and be always at it whilst you live? Cease not a day from this work of mortifying your sin.
他有这样问道，他说你是不是每天都要去清除要去致死你的罪，你在你的生命的每一天都有在做这项的工作吗？一天都不要停止。
And Owen is speaking to the constant battle that we face in regards to this indwelling sin, and that we should make it our occupation to daily and continually fight for holiness.
然后我们看到约翰·欧文他在这个地方所讨论的是我们和罪之间的一个持续的一个连续不断的一个征战，要我们每一天都把和存留的罪的权势的征战当做我们每天最重要的功课。
And Romans chapter 8 tells us how we can do this.
在罗马书的第八章又告诉我们我们可以如何去行。
It says the law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin.
罗马书的第八章这样说到，是生命圣灵的律释放了我，使我脱离罪和死的律了。
And then Owens in his book here continues his thought with these words, and it really leads us into our third and final thought here tonight.
那我们看到 约翰·欧文斯他在讲这些话语可以带到我们今天晚上我们要讨论的第三点关于罪的第三点也是最后一点
and he tells us to be killing sin or it will be killing you your being dead with Christ virtually your being quickened with him will not excuse you from this work
然后我想他这我们的第三点就是我们或者是把罪给致死或者我们被罪而致我们致死我们在讲到说我们可能跟主耶稣有交通但是这一切都不能阻挡我们都不能改变我们的一个事实就是我们还是需要对付我们自己身上的罪
And so our third thought here tonight is this that we are either killing sin or it's killing us
所以我们这里要提到的就是我们要是不能够把罪给致死的话我们就会被罪而所致
Every sin that you and I engage in kills usAnd it kills the fullness of Christ and the joy of Christ that is within us.
如果我们不能够把罪给致死的话，我们会所有我们所经历的那些罪都会把我们给致死，也会让我们失去我们在主耶稣基督里所有的那种喜乐。
Again, Paul addresses in Romans the sin issue, and if you have time, read through Romans chapter 6 as well. But here's what Paul says to us about this sin issue.
那我们看到这个保罗在他的罗马书的第六节也有关于罪的一些这样的说法。
He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on continuing to sin so that grace may increase? By no means.
他说这样怎么说呢我们可以人在罪中叫恩典显多吗断乎不可。
We are those who have died to sin, and how can we live in it any longer?
我们在罪上死了的人岂可人在罪中活着呢
And so for you and I, when we deliberately choose to remain in our sin, we're failing to live as true Christ followers.
如果我们能够还是选择活在罪中的话，我们就不再是主的门徒。
I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, she said, stop acting like the devil if you're going to call yourself a Christian.
Joyce Meyer 她也是说了这样的话如果你想要成为，你就想要称你自己是一个基督徒的话，就不要像魔鬼一样的行事。
And that's kind of what Jesus was saying here in this passage. He's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm going to give you an extreme case because there are some demands for following after me."
这是主耶稣他所说的，说我给你这样的一个命令，你要跟随我，就要付上这样最大的代价。
But we have to deal with this sin issue. Either we're killing sin or sin is killing us.
所以我们要对付我们的罪。我们如果不把罪给致死，我们就会被罪给致死。
Gary, a guy by the name of Gary Richman is a former zookeeper and he had this to say.
有一个以前的一个动物园的管理员，他叫 Gary Richman， 他说过这样的话。
He said raccoons go through a glandular change at about 24 months, and after that they often attack their owners.
他说浣熊的话呢，它在大概24个月大的时候，它会身体会有腺体会有些改变。它发生了这样的改变以后，它可能会攻击它的主人。
And he said since a 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a scrap or a fight, I felt compelled to mention the change coming to a pet raccoon owned by a young friend of mine, Julie.
因为他知道说好像一个30磅重的这样的一个浣熊他发生这些改变的时候他的威力可以像100磅的一条狗一样所以他觉得他有这样的一个义务告诉他的一个好朋友他的好朋友叫 Julie, 他拥有一头宠物浣熊。
He says that she listened politely as he explained the coming danger and that he would never forget her answer. And Julie replied, it will be different for me, as she smiled.
那 Julie 她的好朋友很有礼貌地听着她的警告但是她却不以为然地说这对我来说肯定是个不一样的会不一样的不会发生在我的身上。
And she continued to say, Bandit, the name of the raccoon, would never hurt me. He just wouldn't do a thing.
她继续说到说Bandit, 也就是这个宠物浣熊的名字，他绝对不会伤害我，他绝对不会。
And 3 months later, Julie underwent plastic surgery for facial lacerations sustained when her adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason.
但是也就是三个月以后 ，Julie 她必须经过一些整容的手术，在她的面部要进行整容的手术，因为她的宠物的浣熊攻击了她，在她脸上留下了伤痕。
And Bandit, of course, was released into the wild.
那这头浣熊 Bandit 这头浣熊呢被放回了森林当中野外当中。
And sin too often comes dressed in an adorable disguise, and as we play with it, how easy is it for us to say, well, you know, it will be different for me. And friends, here's the thought for us tonight. The results of sin are always predictable.
我们看到这个罪就像这浣熊一样，它看上去好像经常是披着一个很漂亮的一个外衣，但是当我们去和罪去玩的时候，我们就发现结果会是肯定是可以预测到的。
The Bible tells us that sin will always bring you and I death.
因为圣它的结果就预测到，就是圣经告诉我们说，罪可以给我们带来的就是死。
In James chapter 1 verses 13 through 15, we read these words.
在雅各书的第一章13到15节这样说道。
When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone.
人被试探，不可说我是被神试探。因为神不能被恶试探，他也不试探人。
But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed.
但个人被试探，乃是被自己的私欲牵引诱惑的。
And then after the desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death.
私欲既怀了胎，就生出罪来；罪既长成，就生出死来。
And so the question that we have to ask ourselves, not just from this message tonight, but this entire series about what it means to truly follow Christ is this.
那我想，我们所要问我们大家的一个问题，不单只是今天的这个正道，而是我们整个这一系列的正道，怎么样成为主耶稣的门徒的正道
？Are we willing to give everything up?And to let go of sin in order to follow him.
我们要问我们自己的事，我们愿不愿意放下我们自己的一切，来除去我们自己的罪，来成为主的门徒。
Here in just a few moments, we're going to share in communion tonight.
等一下我们就要领受我们的主的晚餐。
And the part of scripture that once in a while I read, it's actually after the scripture leading us through the process of sharing in communion says that before we come to communion, there should be a time when we reflect on God.
那在我们在我很多时候会引用一段这样的关于领圣餐这段经文，就是我们在领圣餐之前，我们要来思考我们和神的关系。
And in that time of reflection, it gives us an opportunity to make sure that we are right with God before we come to the table.
那在这段时间当中，我们要思索我们和神的关系。这样能够让我们能够来到主的桌前。
And so what I'd like us to do is I'd like us just to take a couple of moments in a reflective, quiet time. Perhaps the piano would come and play softly in the background just for us, and then I'll lead us along. But I think it's important for us just to bow our heads and to reflect on God and to make sure that we're in a right relationship with Him.
那在这个时候呢，我们请大家，我们能够低下我们头来，我们一起有个默想的时间，我们来思想一下我们和神的关系。我们也请诗琴再弹一些背景的音乐。
So let's do that here tonight, Lord. As we come into this moment of communion, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and help us to just be still and to be quiet before you as the piano plays in the background. And Lord, help us to make sure.That we're right before you before we come to your table.
主，当我们事情在弹奏背景音乐的时候，求你来安静我们的心，能够让我们能够静下心来思索我们和主你的关系，能够让我们和主有个正确的关系，我们才能够来到主你的杯、你的饼前。